بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We begin inshallah in today's lesson the description of the prayer of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and it's a vast and wide topic. However, it is very easy because it's governed by hadiths of those who describe the Prophet ﷺ. He said, pray as you have seen me pray. I didn't see you how you pray. How would I know? Simple, by looking at the description of those who had seen him ﷺ pray. And with us today is hadith number 81. Yes, Abdurrahman.
Narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to keep silent between the takbir and the recitation of Quran, that is Surah Al-Fatiha, and that interval of silence used to be a short one. I said to the Prophet, may peace be upon him, may my parents be sacrificed for you. What do you say in the pause between takbir and recitation? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I say, O Allah, set me apart from my sins as the east and the west are set apart from each other. O Allah, clean me from sins as a white garment is cleaned of dirt after washing. O Allah, wash off my sins with water, snow, and hail.
This hadith, of course, as we know, is in one form of what is known as Dua ul-Istiftah, the inauguration supplication, which takes place between the first takbir, takbiratul ihram, and the recitation of al-Fatiha. How many times does it happen in the prayer? Only once, in the very beginning. So, the first thing Abu Huraira said, the Prophet, once he gives takbir, he pauses silently for a while. And scholars described his pauses in prayer. And some of them said that he pauses in the rak'ah three times. In takbiratul ihram, he paused after reciting the Fatiha and before going for ruku'. And the most authentic opinion is that he only pauses twice. These are backed by the hadith, the sahih hadith. And Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy on his soul, mentioned them in his great book, Zadul Ma'ad. The first pause is this. And we have the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim to back it up. The second pause is before going for ruku'. And it's not an actual pause, as scholars say. It's a pause to take the breath. So after reciting the surah and you finish the surah, you run out of breath, nobody goes, for example, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرٍ وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرٍ. So I take a breath to say Allahu Akbar. So these are the only two pauses in forms of the recitation that the Prophet ﷺ used to have. However, one may ask the Prophet, didn't he عليه الصلاة والسلام pause after reciting the Fatiha so that the people would be able to recite the Fatiha in his pause? And the answer is no. There is nothing in the Sunnah to prove that the Prophet ﷺ used to give the people a pause or a period of time to recite the Fatiha. Okay, Sheikh, what about what's happening in Al-Haram of Mecca and Medina, where the Imam pauses? Well, not all of the Imams pause. And that is why those who pause are making a mistake. They are going against the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, because if they pause to give the people time to recite the Quran or to recite the Fatiha, we give them a question. And that is, did the Prophet ﷺ stopped or paused for a while so that the people would be able to recite the Fatiha? They can say either yes or no. If they said yes, what do we tell them? Provide me with the evidence from the Sunnah. If they fail to do this, then the answer is no, he did not pause. If he didn't pause, how do you dare and do something he didn't do? And it's very simple. The analogy is very simple. The way of thinking is very simple. Following the Quran and the Sunnah. Someone says, oh, it's okay, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. I'm not going to make a surgery. I'm not going to take an injection. I'm going to follow the Prophet's way of praying. And if he didn't do this, then you have no right in doing it. So, Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, when he noticed that the Prophet pauses, alayhi salatu wasalam, he went forward and asked him. In some narrations, the Prophet said, oh, Abu Huraira, I was hoping that no one else than you would ask me. Because he saw that Abu Huraira was keen on learning. So he thought that the only one who would ask him about this was Abu Huraira. And he told him, I say, and he read the supplication that the brother has read to us. And there are a number of supplications, not only this one. But what is the ruling on such supplications? Are they mandatory? Are they pillars of salat? Are they sunnah? What do you think, Kaleem?
Sunnah.
It's a sunnah. How do we know that it is a sunnah? Yes, brother.
Sheikh, we come to know this because the Prophet didn't tell to his Sahaba to read this dua. It's after questioning he answered.
That's one of the good reasons that the Prophet ﷺ did not instruct the companions to do it. After he was asked, he told them. And also, we have the hadith known as Al-Musi'u Salatihi, the man who does not know how to pray, or the bad worshipper. And we will come to describe this when the Prophet saw the man praying, and he three times tells him, go and pray, you did not pray, go and pray, you did not pray. Finally, the man surrendered and said, by Allah, I don't know how to pray except the way you saw me, so teach me. And the Prophet taught him. The scholars looked at the instructions of the Prophet and said that this hadith refers to pillars. And any instruction or order in other hadiths, these are mandatory. And anything else is voluntary. And this is how they segregate and classify the acts of prayer. And we will come to this, inshallah, later on. So the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, is explaining to Abu Huraira what to say. First of all, he says, O Allah, distance between me and my sins as you have set apart the east and west. Is there anything further than the east and west? The east never meets the west. And they're so far apart. So you're praying to Allah Azza wa Jal that He makes you so far away from your sins. How would that happen? If Allah forgives your sins. So this is one of the means of ba'id bayni, distant, or make the distance between me and my sins so far. And one other interpretation is that do not make me fall into sin. So if I would fall into sin, this would generate sins. So further me away, put me as far as possible from falling into such sins as if it's the distance between east and west. And both meanings are beautiful. The second thing is, cleanse me and clean my records from sins as a white thobe, as a white garment is cleaned from dirt. Always in commercials of detergents, they bring a white shirt with yellow spotting, with dirt, with mud, and then all of a sudden, it's mashallah, white and clean. Usually they lie a lot. But nevertheless, this white clean shirt is what you wish that Allah Azza wa Jal changes your records of deeds. All those stains, all those sins, you wish and hope that Allah change them into good deeds, or at least erase the bad sins and the bad deeds from them. And the last and third one, that Allah cleanse you and purifies you from sins, again, but with water, with hail, and with snow. So all of these three things that you pray that Allah washes your sins away. However, one would argue, what is the best temperature to clean garments with? Cold or hot? Hot. So why then use hail and snow? Scholars say that because sins are fiery in nature and would lead to fire in hell as a purification and punishment, the Prophet ﷺ found it suitable more to ask Allah Azza wa Jal to cleanse these sins with cold substances that would manage to take the heat out of them with the grace of Allah. And the best means to put a fire out is by using these substances of snow, hail, and water. Now, as stated before, it is part of the sunnah to read this supplication. But do I read it silently or loudly? Silently, without any difference among scholars. And this is the doing of the Prophet. That is why Abu Huraira asked, because if the Prophet ﷺ had ever recited it loudly, there's no point of asking. And there are different types of such supplications, among them that ones that we will, inshallah, read to you in brief, but we have a break, so stay tuned.